You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Ask them to share. They're getting ready to head back to college. And so I wanted to give them opportunity before they go. And you know, if you have a word on your heart and you're in this house, that the Lord puts on your heart, we like to give opportunity to share those things. Amen? And we have opportunity in the morning service and Wednesday nights and things like that. So we have two that's going to minister to you this morning. But coming first to the platform this morning is Caleb Murray. And I believe he has a couple songs he wants to do. And then he's going to do a little ministry. And then Brooke is going to minister to us also this morning. And Caleb can tell you a little bit about what he's been doing in college and them. They're connected with the different worship groups and bands and things like that in college, and God is using them to minister there, and so we're going to hear from them this morning. So if you help them preach, amen, God will minister and flow through them.
All right, I'm not going to play music yet. Terry dismissed half of my band to Sunday school. But just kidding, too. I don't know. It's just God's good, and he does good things, and he's faithful, and he just, I don't know. It's been good. It's been a good year. It's been a good summer. He's done a lot this summer in me and through me, which was good. And he did a lot, you know, with me and Brooke at college and stuff, And so he's just good, and it's hard to say anything other than that, you know. I guess I'll just tell you all my whole entire life, if you got time. But so this year at college, I was involved in two campus ministries, Chi Alpha and Crew, or Campus Crusade, was what they used to be called. Crew was a ministry that me and Brooke got involved in. I auditioned for the worship band. I'm on the worship band for them. And that was good for me. It was good to learn and to grow. And I feel like I've grown more as a musician and really come into a state of mind of worship through that. And so that's been good. Played with a lot of good musicians. Who are really talented and really love God, and so that's always a plus. And so me and Brooke, we went to their events, and Brooke was, I'll let her tell you more of what she did with them, or if she wants to or not. And so she was involved, and I was involved, and that was good. That was good. I also got involved in another ministry called Chi Alpha, which was new at Marshall. First year that it was on campus, and so I really felt God calling me and leading me into Chi Alpha, and really he kind of had my heart and for them, and the campus pastor really loves God and really loves college ministry, and so his heart's in it, and it was just good for me to be involved in that building stage of a ministry and to kind of help out where what the direction is going and stuff. And so I was really heavily involved with them, led a Bible study, led a thing called a life group, which is, you know, it's basically just like a Bible study. And I did some worship for them, and I preached one night, and so that was good. And God just, like, he just lays it out for me, and just he makes it simple, and he puts it in front of you so you can do it, and then he works through you and he gives you the strength to do it. And so it's just been good that way. And so I did that, and they voted me in as president of that particular organization. And so that's stressful, but I know that God has a plan for that too. But that's not at all what I want to tell you, but today, I don't even know. I just want to go right into it. But I'll give you a little bit more background stuff or stuff that I've been doing. This summer, it's been good. Been super busy. doing a lot of stuff, and God's been good in that. He's fixed some relationships that were broken. He gave me a new relationship that it's scary. But it's scary. Her name's Sarah. She's really pretty, and she loves Jesus, and so that's good. All right. Anyways, but he's done a lot of good things, and just time after time, he's just been faithful, and he's just been good, and it's awesome, you know. So the past couple weeks, I just have so much stuff to tell you that is coming out. So the past few weeks, I got a job at MTV Solar. And when I went into this job, I was like, when I went for the interview, I was like, God, if this is where you want me to be, you know, let it be simple, let it be easy, you know, because let the interview process, you know, go well, whatever. Easiest job I've ever gotten. And he's put me at this job, I think, to, you know, I don't know, just to be a light and stuff. And since I've been there, I've gotten to have just some great conversations, some spiritual conversations with some people, and just to speak some light and just to be, you know, just to love and stuff. And so he's put me there for a reason. And that's this summer is just God's put me in these places for a reason. And he's put me in a place where I need to be. And it comes from trusting and me being faithful to him, that he's faithful to me. And earlier this summer, before I went to this thing called Camp Hope, which was kind of like a missionary mission kind of thing, I was meeting with my friend Rick. He's a youth pastor for the Methodist Church, and I was meeting with him. I was talking to him about this. We were having lunch, and he's like, and I was like, I don't know what I should do. Should I go to Georgia? Should I go to Camp Hope? And he said, well, Caleb, do you think God will answer your prayer if you pray to him and ask him about it? I said, yeah, I think he might do that. And it made me think, you know, did I really think that God was going to answer my prayer if I asked him? Do you think I was going to get an answer if I prayed to him? And yeah, I do believe that. And a lot of times we spend so much time worrying and fretting over things that if we just pray to God, he's just going to give us an answer. It's simple, you know. And so what I did, I prayed, and I was like, God, you know, where should I go? And very clearly, it was like, go to Camp Hope. You know, there's some things that I need to do there. And while I was there, you know, he worked in me, and he mended a relationship that was been broken for a year or two, and he used me to speak, and we were, it was like, you know, it was just awesome. And so that was, you know, that's something that's been ringing in my mind too. Is just like, if we really believe that God's going to answer our prayer, why don't we just pray? You know, sometimes we just think, oh, I got to worry about this. I'm worrying about that. I got this, you know, I got this job I got to do. I got this interview I got to go to. I got these, you know, at this house and I have to pay for it, blah 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 blah. But we just worry and fret and stuff. But never once are we like, well, if I pray, do you think God will answer my prayer? I think he might, you know, and so that's something I, you know, and so on to the job thing. God speaks to you wherever you're at, you know, and I was sitting on this job, and I was talking to this kid Matt, and we were having this talk, and he's telling me what God's doing in his life, and which was great, and I was, you know, I was telling him what God was doing, and we were just getting on this conversation, and then. You know, and God spoke to me, and he said, you know, and we work on a solar job, and so there's, you know, we're installing solar panels for this hospital or whatever, biggest install, at least in Virginia, maybe, you know, whatever they make it out to be like some huge thing, which it is. It's like this huge field of just solar panels, but he spoke to me, and he goes, you're the panel, you know. You absorb, you know, the light from the sun, but then You don't just stop there. You just don't sit there. You give that energy out. And you heal people in the hospital. And you help people. And you become a channel for my energy to flow out of. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, and he speaks to you wherever you're at. It doesn't matter where you go. He has a word for you at your job, you know. He has a word for you at home. He has a word for you at school. And I was like, yeah, that's who we are. We're the panels. We're just absorbing the light from the sun. Sun, S-O-N, sun, S-U-N. You know, we're absorbing the light from the sun. We channel that energy. And then we don't just stop there. If we did that, it would be useless to install solar panels if they're just going to sit there and absorb the energy. But we give that energy out, and we're involved in healing people and lighting people's houses up, lighting the world, basically. And so that's just awesome. And that's something that, you know, that God does, is he shows you himself through everything. You know, if he was a God that encompassed everything, then he would have to show you himself through everything. So that's something he was speaking to me through then. But really, what I really wanted to talk about, besides everything else, is Lisa was preaching not too long ago, and she said, it was the blind man. He's healed on Sabbath, right? Yeah, so the blind man was healed on Sabbath, and they made a big deal about that, about him being healed on Sabbath, because you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. And God said, he spoke to me, and he said, Christ is the Sabbath. He wasn't breaking any rules. He was who he was, and so that was him on that day. Can you bring up Exodus, 20, verse 8 or something like that? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We keep the Sabbath holy but not doing anything. Christ is the Sabbath. He's holy. When he was doing those things on that day, he wasn't breaking any rules. He was who he was, you know. He was holy, and he is the Sabbath. And so now we don't go on a particular day and say that I'm going to keep this day holy, blah blah blah. No, we go to him because he's holy and he's the Sabbath. People rested on the Sabbath, but if we go to Christ, that's where we find rest now. You know, he said, it was like Matthew 20-something. I wrote it back there. Anyways, it says, come to me all who are, yeah, or 11:28. Yeah, come to me all that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's simple, you know, and we come to him, and he's the Sabbath, and he is rest, and he is holy, and that's where we come, and that's where we get our rest, is from Christ, not from some day. It's from a guy who gave his life on the cross so you could have life, you know. He gave his life so you could have rest, and you didn't have to pick out some particular day of the week and find your rest that way. You know, so that was something that I really spoke to me, is that you don't go somewhere and don't try to find your rest in people or in things or things. You go find your rest in him. And you know, and out of that rest, that'll produce fruit, you know, and out of that rest, that'll produce your purpose and stuff. And then you can go out and do the things that you're meant to do just by going to him and finding your rest. And one thing that it kind of confirmed that was I went to this leadership retreat, and I just was at rest, and through that rest, I put my phone, didn't talk, to girls or whatever, didn't text anybody, and I let it go, and I just could rest, and I could be with him. And in the morning, on the last day, I'm not sure if he woke me up because I'm not a morning person or like what exactly happened, but it was very clear. And he said, to produce fruit, you got to get intimate with me. And to do that, you both have to be in a place of rest. You have to be, you know, and you have to be alone with somebody to be intimate with them. And that's where the fruit comes from. And I was like, so I'm at rest. God speaks to me. He says, get intimate with me. And that's going to produce the fruit. And I was like, all right. You know, now I know that, like, this is what you want me to do. And you confirm some things in me. And he puts me at that place. And it's so simple. And it's so easy. And it's so good. God, you know, it's like I can't simplify it anymore, and I can't complicate it because it just is. He just is. He just is the Sabbath. He's just as holy. He is just as rest. And that's where I want to go, and that's where I want to be at. I just want to be at rest with him, and I want to get intimate with him, and I want to produce the fruits that he has for me. So, I mean, that's really all I got, you know. I don't got something to say, but... That's all I got. Yeah. Brooke, you want to come sing a song right now? I'm just going to sing it without the microphone, if that's all right. Just sing it.
Everlasting stream, your river carries me on. Let it go, let it go, oh. Well, that was wonderful. Hate to have to follow that, but here I go. I'm not going to so much talk about my summer because, well, there wasn't really much to talk about. And school was really good, and I got to experience a lot of things and overcome some challenges and some triumphs that God really had placed upon my heart. But I actually have a word that I want to talk about this morning that God had laid on my heart. And what I titled it was Worship Not Warfare, but I'm going to kind of tie some other things into that too. But I was in Tennessee like 2 weeks ago, and I was actually there for Lake City's anniversary service, and Dan Kiesler was there speaking, and he was talking about how so often we just always feel like we're in warfare. It always feels like we're fighting, and we have to overcome this, and this is happening. And God really laid on my heart, worship, not warfare, is what he laid, and that's exactly how he said it to me. So first, I'm going to start with my first scripture, and that is Exodus 17, chapter 11. And it says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And so the context of this verse is the Israelites, who Moses is for, are battling the Amalekites. And they're in the midst of this warfare. But whenever Moses has his arms uplifted, the Israelites are prevailing. But if he lowers his arms, the Amalekites begin to come back, and they begin to prevail. And it goes on to talk about a couple more things. And normally, we tend to talk about Aaron and Hur, who held Moses' arms up for him so that the Israelites could prevail. But what I want to talk about is the position that Moses is in. Because when it seemed like they were going through this warfare, they seemed like they were going through these struggles and these things were coming against them, when Moses uplifted his arms, he was in a position of worship. And when you're in a position of worship, victory is your only option. But when you begin to get out of that and you're out of that experience and you begin to put your arms down and feel sorry for yourself and slumped over and tired, that's when things are going to begin to rise up in your life and things are going to try and defeat you. But if you stay in that position of worship, you will prevail. Victory is the only option. Now, that doesn't mean that the war stopped. It doesn't mean that the battle didn't go on. It doesn't mean that they might have lost a couple people in that battle. But when his arms were uplifted and he was a position of worship, victory was at hand. And so the next verse I want to talk about is Psalms 20 or 31:21. Let me find it real quick. Where is it? Okay, I'll just use this. Actually, I'm going to use mine because I like the way it says it better. Sorry. 31:21. Sorry. Okay, so it says, praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. Because he'll work through things that seem like destruction. When your city's under siege, just praise him. When you're in warfare, just praise him. When you're battling something, just praise him, because you will always prevail when you have the God on your side. When I've actually heard before, we were talking at FCA one time a few years ago. This was years ago, but we were talking about the armor of God. And you know, you have the helmet, and you have your breastplate, and the sword, and your sandals, and your loins girt about with truth, and you have all these things. But do you notice that never once does it give you a piece of armor for your back? Never once is there something on your back. Because when you have on the armor of God, and when you're in that position, nothing's ever going to get past you to get to your back. And we were at youth group one time, and Trish was talking about the armor of God. And she said, and she had Lexi dressed up in this full armor, and then she grabbed a hold of Lexi's arms, and she said, when you're fighting and it's coming against you, sometimes you have to turn around because God's at your back. Sometimes you have to turn around and let him fight the battle. Sometimes you have to step out of what seems like your battle and let God handle it. And one of those, it's so important to have an encounter with God too, because your worship is your encounter. When you're in the midst of that worship, it's not about the songs you sing or the place you're at or the dances you do or however your worship is. It doesn't matter where you're at or the things you're doing. What matters is entering into an encounter with the Most High God. What matters is entering into his presence and leaving behind what's here. And it made me think of Isaiah chapter 6. Now, I wasn't going to pull that up, but I think I am now, if you can pull up Isaiah chapter 6. And this says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King of the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thine sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom shall I go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And what Isaiah experienced there was he experienced an encounter with the Lord. He experienced an encounter that he will never forget. And what it takes for you to understand the true presence of God and the love of God is an encounter. And I'm actually going to do a little demonstration, if I can have that cup of water in that bottle there. So, this is not the mic, this is. When I was in Tennessee, Dan was talking about, you can have all the theology you want, but if you never have an encounter, you won't understand any of it. So we have this cup here, and this is your knowledge. This is your theology. You can read the Bible backwards and forwards, know every single word, and this is what it is. It's a cup. You can see it. You realize that it has a purpose. You understand that something has to go in it, but right now it's useless. It's empty. There's nothing in it. I can't do anything with it but hold it. All I can do is understand what it's supposed to do. But when you, I'll just get the stand. And your encounter with God, that's your water, because he is the living water. So this is the Lord, and this is your knowledge. This is your understanding. But when I begin to take this presence of God, I begin to take the living water, and I begin to fill the cup. And suddenly this cup has a use. There's a purpose. I can use something with this cup now. I can drink out of it. I can wash myself with it. I could pour it on something. I could share it with somebody. Because you can have the theology. You can have the knowledge. You can know the scriptures. But if you never have the presence to fill it, you can't do anything with it. You can't use it. You have to have the water to fill the cup. And I'm not saying that you need to know the Bible, and you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. But before any of that happens, you have to enter the presence. You have to have that encounter. You have to have the coal touch to your lips and see the train of his robe fill the temple. Because without that, without the presence, you'll never be able to say, Here I am, send me. I'm here, send me. Because you can't be sent out without having the presence. And so, I have one more scripture that I want to talk about, and that's Romans 12:1. And in my version it says, Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And that sacrifice of offering your body, it's not, you know, laying down on an altar and giving yourself up. That's not what it is. It's about surrendering your life to God, about entering into the presence. Because once you enter into that presence, most likely you're not going to come out of it because you begin to live in that. It becomes your life. It becomes how you work, how you move, how you walk. It begins how you share your living water, is that you have offered yourself up to God. You have given yourself completely over and let him do it. And that's your worship. That is your worship. So when you're in the warfare, when you feel like you're fighting some battles, get in the position of worship. Offer your body up. Enter the encounter and take what he has already given to you what he's promised you. And I really love that Isaiah is in the presence of God. He's there with him. He could have stayed there, but God needed someone to go out, and he said, here I am. Send me. Send me. Because once you've received that water, once you've received that encounter, once you've received that presence, you just want to go out and share it. You just have to say, send me. I want to show your works. I want to show the marvelous nature of the Most High God. You know, that song said, wonderful, glorious, holy, righteous, victorious, conqueror, triumphant, mighty, healer, deliverer, shield, defense, strong tower, my best friend. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. He's the soon coming king. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he's the Lord of everything. And holy, 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 the angels cried, is his name. And there are so many more words you can call him. There are so many more things to describe his wonderful nature. And that's exactly it. Because when you get in the presence, all you can cry out is, holy, holy, holy is his name. So here I am, send me. Give me the water. Give me the presence. Give me that encounter and send me out.
Yes, he is. Amen. I so appreciate them sharing their heart. Amen. That's not an always an easy spot to do or fill, but I appreciate the God in them and all of those in this house, all of our kids. I love to see them minister in all the different ways. I love to see them break dancing up front here and, you know, when they're when they're this big and all, you know. I thank the Lord for an opportunity. That I had opportunity, that somebody believed in me and gave me space and said, even if it's only 5 minutes, you go ahead and share your heart. And so now I have a hard time keeping it under an hour, so I apologize for that. But I thank the Lord for what he's doing in the hearts of his people. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, we can look around and see, find a lot of flaw in the youth today or things like that, but I choose to put a plus two on the paper. Amen? I choose to say, you're not all bad. You're on a roll. That's what she told him. And, you know, I think if we begin to exalt and appreciate what good we'll see a whole lot more good of that. Amen. And so I'm thankful today for everyone who's ministered in the house and for his presence. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Did you all have another worship song as they come in? While the kids are coming in, we'll just stretch our legs here for a minute. They're going to sing a song for us, and then we'll have our little kids come and minister to us and do the